Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, you can put your hands together. Come on.
You started a fire in you, a burning that's only for you, a hunger that can only be satisfied by Jesus. You came and you turned the light on. Went through the shame, had me lost in the dark. Oh, you came and you found me.
I can tell the world that a crown of thorns was won by a man named Jesus, and the price that he paid, I know that he paid it for you. Death, hell, and the grave, he didn't invade for nothing. Yes, he did it to save me, and he wants to save you.
Come to
give him your
give
heart.
Him your
come,
heart.
To Jesus.
Come to Jesus,
just as you
just
are.
Just as you are,
and he will make you
come to
Jesus.
Fire in you, a burning that's only for him, a hunger that can only be satisfied by Jesus.
Satisfied by Jesus.
His power to eat is from the west, power to sunrise from the sunset. That's how far he'll, that's how far he'll move your sin.
Hey! I can tell the world that a crown of thorns was won by a man named Jesus, and the price that he paid, I know that he paid it for you. Death, hell, and the grave, he didn't invade for nothing. Yes, he did it to save me. He was to save you.
Come to Jesus.
Give him your
heart. Give him your
heart. Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Yeah.
Just as you are, and we will save.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together and let us enter unto his courts with praise. Good morning and God bless you, everyone. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, July the 10th, 2022. Now, I am the woman of God of this assembly. I'm your sister, Apostle Shalene Cook, but I am never alone because I am always joined by anointed members of the Spirit Alive family. And this morning, I am being joined in the persons of Minister Gladys McGee, Mother Shirley Steiner Mitchell, hallelujah, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, and of course, Apostle Zeta Flowers. So on behalf of all of us, we want to welcome you to this morning's service. And we pray that you will hear a word, hallelujah, that will encourage you and truly uplift your very soul. Now we will go to opening prayer with our very own Minister Gladys McGee. Amen.
Thank you, Apostle. Oh, we want to thank God for another morning that we have yet not seen today, Lord. We just thank you, Father God, for waking us up, Father God, filled with your holy, precious spirit, Father God, Lord. We know that it was not by chance that you woke us up this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this ministry, Father God, Lord. We pray, Lord, that it will edify the souls of one on today, Father God, Lord, that our service will be decent and in order, Father God, Lord, and someone will hear, Lord, the tug of their heart, Lord, and open up to you, Father God, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We pray, Lord, that all things go decent and in order, Lord Jesus, Lord. Nothing will come in between our broadcasts, Lord. No statics, Lord. No disconnections, Father God, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. I pray, Father God, Lord, that this word on today edify someone's soul and they be willing to give their life over to you, Father God, Lord. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Very lovely.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
In his arms I feel protected. In his arms never connected. In his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. In his arms, never disconnected. In his arms, I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Thank you.
I've ever done. Hallelujah. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading, and each and every Sunday morning, we ask the wonderful mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, excuse me, to come and read to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So won't you please now give your undivided attention to the mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. I love each and every one of you, whether you're near or far. The meditational reading for today is entitled Divinely Arranged, Beautifully Timed. We'll be looking at Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. It reads in part, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Now, nothing happens to you by accident. You do know that when you have God in your life. Even a chance meeting with someone is part of his plan to set in motion his blessings in your life. Such was the divinely arranged meeting of the Shunammite woman and prophet Elisha. It led to the prophet announcing over her the blessings of a miracle child, even though she was barren and her husband was old. You can read about that in 2 Kings 4, 8 through 17. A few years later, it was the friendship with the man of God that saw her through a crisis when her son fell seriously ill and died. Elisha raised her son back to life. You can read about that in verses 18 through 37. When God is the one orchestrating the events in your life, neither lack nor danger nor destruction can affect you. When famine hit the land, the Shunammite woman's family did not suffer, because through Elijah, God had told them to leave the land. They went to the land of the Philistines and dwelt there throughout the 7 years of famine. 2 Kings 8, 1 and 2. God can place you at the right place at the right time, even through your daily decision making. The Shunammite woman returned to Shaman after the famine had ended. She then decided to appeal to the king of Israel to gain her house and land, which had been illegally acquired by others during her absence. This decision brought her before the king on the same day that Elisha's servant Gehazi was in audience with the king. The king wanted to hear all about the miracles performed by Elijah. This gave the Shunammite woman the opportunity to share firsthand with the king how Elijah had raised her son from the dead. The thrilled king then ordered the restoration of her home, house, and land, including all the proceeds of the field from the day that she had left until then. Verses 3 through 6. The Lord had timed and set up everything beautifully for her. Beloved, God also makes all things beautiful in its time for you. As you involve him in your daily life and trust his love for you, you too will see him lead and place you at the right place at the right time to enjoy his blessings. May the Lord add a blessing to his word. May he make everything beautiful in its time and add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. Amen. The thought for today, involve God in your daily life and trust his love for you, and he will make all things beautiful in its time. Amen and glory to God.
You might see me and you may think I'm doing fine. What you don't see is what I'm keeping behind this smile.
Take a second, ask a question, you just might find it.
That thing you've been struggling with.
It's impossible, it's whatever.
It's time we put our pride on the shelf.
I need you.
Don't let me fight this fight by myself.
Oh, no.
Hallelujah and glory to God. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we come together as a family, hallelujah, with one heart set, on one accord, to lift up our petitions, our supplications, our intercessions unto the Most High God for our brothers and sisters and the lost all over this world. Because here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience, when we pray expecting God to move. We pray believing yes. that God will do exactly what he says he will do. And hallelujah, we pray rejoicing, knowing that we have a Father that can do all things but fail. So at this time, we are about to go to the throne room of grace, hallelujah, with our anointed apostle, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and I want each and every blood-washed believer, hallelujah, to get your focus on and prepare to stand in agreement with what the Holy Spirit has to say through this apostle. Amen. Glory to God. Apostle Zeta.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you all. Good morning. Good morning. We are going to right now. Hallelujah. Allow us to come forth. Hallelujah. At any time and to pray. Hallelujah. And when we pray, he hears us and he answers us. Hallelujah. Father God. We come to you this morning thanking you for all that you are, all that you do, and continue to do for us, your children. We want to ask your forgiveness this morning over anything, Lord, that would be displeasing to you, sin, whatever it might be, shortcomings.
Touch Jesus.
In my
yes,
name
Lord.
Of Jesus. In the name
yes,
of Jesus, even when those things come that are distracting to us and others, even the things that we can't help, we still come to you, Lord, and ask for your forgiveness
yeah.
because it is right. So that we can continue to go forth in your name, hallelujah, without continued distractions. So we thank you this morning, God. Hallelujah. For forgiving us, if you said that you would. So thank
yes,
you.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Continue to go on in prayer. Hallelujah. Have mercy. Hallelujah. We know that mercy you do it forever.
Come into your mic, Apostle.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Beginning in our households. Hallelujah. Neighbors. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that we would touch in Jesus' name. And
yes.
continue to use those, hallelujah, us, Lord, that continue to witness, hallelujah, continue to tell others about you. We pray, Lord, that they will be drawn by your Spirit in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, and that they will accept you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for those, Lord, that we know, hallelujah, that have accepted you. We thank you, Lord, that you are them, hallelujah, bringing them in a deeper place, a deeper relationship. We thank you for all of this, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you are using even some of them to go out to witness. Hallelujah,
yes.
that others will know more and more about you. Now we lift up all of those, Lord, that are suffering, yet suffering. Hallelujah. Those that are in the hospital, homes, those that are confined. We pray, Lord, that you will touch their hearts today. Hallelujah. That you will set them free in the name of Jesus from their sickness, from bondages. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. That you would touch all over the world. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In these countries, Lord, that where there is so much suffering. Hallelujah. Where there is so much going on. In the name of Jesus, that it seems like it's impossible, but we know that it isn't. Because with you, all things are possible. So we pray, Lord, that you will just touch across the nation in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That you will put certain things at rest in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So that your people, hallelujah, will be in their situation. Lord, where there are food shortages, that there will be plenty. Hallelujah. That you will send the abundance.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. We just praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Hallelujah. We thank you for answered prayer. Hallelujah. That we have seen. Hallelujah. But there is so much more, so many more, Lord, to be touched by your hand. So we ask, Lord, that you would continue to move in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Move in countries, Lord, where there are so many people, Lord, that have not yet even heard about you, haven't heard your name. We pray that you would make a difference. The persecuted church, those that are continuing to minister to witness for you, Lord, we ask your hand of protection upon them in Jesus' name. Watch over them, God. Lead and guide them in Jesus' name. Make a safe place for them, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. If there is any sick among us today, we ask, Lord, that you heal. We pray, Lord, for the Spirit of Life Ministries. Hallelujah, that it will continue to touch.
Bless you.
Continue to allow people to hear. Hallelujah, all over the world. In the mighty name of Jesus. And even among us, Lord, that you would strengthen us, that you would help us. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
That you would lift us. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, that you will continue to teach. Hallelujah, that you will
step into your mic, Apostle. Hallelujah.
We praise you this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you for Apostle Shirlene Cook. We thank you for all the other leaders that are so willing, hallelujah, to do your will. We thank you this morning, and we praise you in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen and amen.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. Oh, stay by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, and the mountain
should crumble, crumble to the sea. I won't cry,
I won't cry,
I won't cry,
I won't
no,
cry.
I won't shed a tear, just as long
as
you
stand
standing by me.
Thank you, Jesus. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to all the mighty and anointed servant leaders that are present here today, and to you, God's elect. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Please retrieve your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. Chapter 10. Hallelujah. We're all the way up to chapter 10. Thank you, Jesus. If you are listening via your computers or your smartphones, if you go and you don't have a Bible, go to BibleGateway.com, type in Acts chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 23. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 10, and today we're going to look at verses 1 through 23. And the word of God reads as follows. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow as they went on the journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up unto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending upon him, and as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again and the second time, What God has cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of all good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them and certain brethren from Joppa accompanying him. Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace, asking that I completely decrease so that you might have all the increase, Lord God, because you have said in your holy word, if you be lifted up, you will draw all men into yourself. Lord, I pray that you use this message to encourage, to empower, and to impart wisdom, knowledge, discernment, and understanding unto your people according to your Holy Spirit and your holy word. And Lord, if somebody doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, I pray that today would be the day that they would make you their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, I pray. Amen and amen. Family.
Amen.
Have you ever been a part of a group where you had a sense that your acceptance was like a little tentative at best? You know, in some ways, my memory of junior high and high school were like that. I was accepted because I was considered a good student, a nice girl, and I hung out with the more affluent kids. However, as my faith has grown and I have began taking a stand for what's right in God's sight, my acceptance in certain groups has now become less certain. But I have found that the more I love Christ, the less I care about being cool or being a part of the in crowd, because all I want to do is be a child of God. And God wants all of his people to know that he loves us and he accepts us just the way we are. We don't have to do anything to earn his love any more than a newborn baby has to do anything to earn their parents' love. You see, God loves his people because he made us in his image. And he wants to show us how great his love really is. So the main message that I want to get across to everyone within the sound of my voice today is that point. God loves us. And I am here today to welcome each and every one of you to acceptance. Now, how does God use our lives to accomplish this? Well, last week I shared with you how God meets physical need and spiritual needs. So this week, I'm asking you to walk with me into the deep. Because today, I'd like to make four observations that will help us to understand how God meets the very deepest needs of a person's life. You see, I'm going to share with you how we as believers are living telegrams of God's love and acceptance. You see, saints of God, let's just put it like this. Let me put it in a language that you can understand in these days and times. We are living text messages sent from God to people who need to know that they are accepted. Which brings me to the first point of our message. You see, I want you to know and understand that even good people need Jesus. Yes. We looked at the life of Cornelius. Cornelius was devout and God-fearing. He was reverent. He was righteous. He had embraced the Jewish religion with the exception of being circumcised. But he worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He respected and honored God by living a holy life and doing what was morally right. Now, what a profound difference it would make in our world if people were more careful to do right because they had a healthy respect and reverence for God. Hallelujah. See, we don't reverence God anymore. Hallelujah. We don't have that healthy respect for God anymore that will cause us to live a holy and righteous and morally right life as Cornelius did. But is it enough to do good? You see, Cornelius was generous. He gave generously to those in need. Wow, and check this out, saints. Hallelujah, Jesus fans. Hallelujah. He did it with no strings attached. Hallelujah. Yeah. Cornelius had a no strings attached benevolence ministry going on. You see, he did not require repayment with or without interest. No, he likely considered his gifts as offerings to God. He cared about helping people who were in need. Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. What a kind, loving man Cornelius must have been. But is it enough to be kind and generous? Is it enough to be a nice guy or a nice girl? Let's carry on. Cornelius was a man of prayer. He prayed to God regularly, twice a day, 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Devout Jews prayed publicly to God. These times coincided with the morning and evening sacrifices that were given to God. In addition, they prayed in private at least three times a day, morning, noon, and night. That is why we find the God-fearing Gentile Cornelius praying at 3 in the afternoon. And Peter the Jew praying at noontime. Cornelius called out to the God who hears from heaven and rewards those who diligently seek him. To sum it up, Cornelius was a really good man, even though he didn't yet know Jesus. One would think that praying, giving, and being good would be enough. So why didn't God just say, my son, Jesus, listen, you know, Cornelius really loves me and is doing a lot of good on earth. What do you say we just go ahead and let him on into heaven, even though he doesn't believe that you were, are, and always will be the Messiah who died to pay for his sins? Why did God go to the trouble of sending an angel to speak to Cornelius about sending for Peter? Why did the Lord bother Peter with the vision of eating gross, unclean animals and tell him to go see Cornelius? Well,
the
answer is this. Even good people need Jesus. Because Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
You see, Cornelius had been seeking the Father, obeying the Father, talking to the Father. But he would never be able to go to the Father except through Jesus.
Yeah.
Every living person on this planet needs Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter how intelligent they think they are, how kind they believe they are, or how moral they think they are. Nobody, and I do mean nobody, gets into heaven without putting their faith in the Son of God who died in their place and rose again. That is why God went to great lengths to get the message of Jesus Christ to Cornelius. However, I need to tell somebody, at this point, it wasn't necessarily real easy for Peter to understand what was going on. Because remember, we're talking about Peter here. But this brings us to our second point, which is even godly leaders need to adjust their thinking. Yes, they do. You see, God cleanses all who put their trust in Jesus, not just those we approve of, okay? Why did God use the vision of clean and unclean animals as an illustration for Peter? We know from verse 28 that Peter understood the vision to mean that he needed to share the gospel with Gentiles and welcome him into the kingdom of God. So the main point of the vision was not that it was okay to eat unclean animals, but it was that the Jews were no longer to disassociate themselves from the Gentiles.
From the Gentiles. Amen.
Nevertheless,
that girl.
Here is a question so many cannot find a satisfactory solution for.
Yeah.
Did the vision mean that Jews might need to break some of their dietary restrictions in order to share the gospel with Gentiles? One thing they did need to do was change their view on what made them clean and unclean. Jewish belief prevented them from entering the house of a Gentile, and it prevented them from receiving a Gentile into their home. Why? Because Gentiles were considered unclean. They were considered unclean because they ate unclean food and because they were uncircumcised. But let me tell you something. All of that was merely external criteria. So what did the vision mean? It meant that things like diet and circumcision were not the criteria by which God accepted people. Hallelujah. Jesus made it quite clear in Matthew 15:11. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. With God, it is a heart issue.
Heart.
And
yes.
Peter had to make a major adjustment in his thinking.
Glory to God.
In fact, what was Peter's first response when God told him to kill an unclean animal? Well, he refused on the basis of the Old Testament. Ezekiel was told to eat unclean food as an example of Israel's coming judgment. And Peter's response sounds quite similar. In fact, Ezekiel 4:14 says, Ezekiel replies, "Not so, sovereign Lord. I have never defiled myself. From my youth until now, I have never eaten anything found dead or torn by wild animals. No unclean meat has ever entered my mouth." But in Peter's case, the Lord's response to Peter was this. Son, you can't call something unclean if I have made it clean. Now, Peter had to hear this word three times before he began to realize that God really was doing a new thing. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now, hear me clearly, saints of God. I don't believe for one second that Peter just went out and started eating bacon and ham and hallelujah pork chops for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. In fact, we find that Peter struggled with this lesson later on. Paul writes about a confrontation he had with Peter in Galatians 2:12, where it says, "Before certain men came from James, he, Peter, used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group." You see, Peter was a pillar in the early church. He was one of the closest disciples to Jesus. Yet he had to continually be willing to be corrected by the Lord. And not only that, he had to be willing to be corrected by other godly men. As far as the issue of eating only kosher foods go, this is my opinion, and this is my opinion, only my opinion, and it's based on what I studied in the Bible. I believe it is okay for Jewish believers to keep a kosher diet if they want to, as long as it does not keep them from having fellowship with the rest of the body of Christ. And as long as they do not view kosher as a means of grace. You see, kosher food does not bring anyone closer to God, nor does it make them any more worthy of salvation. You better hear me. And the same applies for Gentiles. If they believe that a kosher diet is better for their health, that's no problem. However, if any believer, Jew or Gentile, refuses to associate with others in the body of Christ because of a food concerns or cultural customs, they are just being downright anti-biblical. Furthermore, if a believer refuses to associate with others because of racial prejudice, they too are missing God's plan for his people.
Yeah.
We can also apply this to other concerns that wrongly divide the body of Christ. Should our Sabbath be on a Saturday or our Sunday? In Colossians 2:16, Paul says, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food or drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath." You see, it is not a question of outward conformity, but it is a question of the heart. Before we get overly concerned with the how of worship, we need to ask the Lord to give us a heart of worship.
of worship. Yeah.
Sometimes those who argue the loudest about how we should or should not worship, they spend very little personal time or effort actually worshiping God.
Yes.
So godly leaders, and indeed all believers, sometimes need to adjust their thinking and God and let God use them to accomplish his agenda. We need to lay aside our own agenda and let God be God in and through our lives. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And our next point is closely related to this. You see, God wants us to accept believers the way he does. Hallelujah. Not according to our criteria, not according to whether or not they look like us or sound like us. And I know that in some ways this point is redundant, but I wanted to zero in on this truth. Since I believe that it reflects one of the core values of the New Testament, and I also believe it is the core value of Christian life, and that doesn't mean we have arrived in this area, but I think it's one area that we would should want to excel. We want to be long on grace, hear me now, and short on anything that makes people feel unwanted.
Yeah.
Or unloved. Okay? We, as disciples of Jesus Christ, should be known by his love. Hallelujah. And we've already read how the Lord wanted Peter to respond to Cornelius and his men. First, God didn't want Peter to consider these Gentiles unclean. He wanted Peter to love and accept them just the way they were.
They were.
Now, it probably helped that Cornelius was a God-fearer, because in the book of Acts, the term God-fearer generally describes a Gentile who embraces the Jewish religion and worships Yahweh, but does not become a full proselyte through circumcision, you see. Cornelius had obtained the favor of the Jews already. So it wasn't such a huge leap for Peter to accept him. However, the big problem had to do with inviting Gentiles into the same house and eating with them. As Peter mentions down in verse 28, it was contrary to Jewish law for Jews to enter into a Gentile's house or to allow a Gentile to enter a Jew's house, especially if it meant eating a meal with them. So it was a big deal for Peter to invite those from Cornelius' house in for food and lodging. See, it was quite a walk from Caesarea to Joppa. They spent one night on the road and arrived around noon the next day. They spent one night with Peter in Joppa, and Peter headed back with them the next day. They apparently spent another night somewhere along the way and arrived in Caesarea the day after that. Peter lodged with these Gentiles and ate a number of meals with them. Then Peter goes against everything he had been taught as a Jew and enters the house of an uncircumcised Gentile. He speaks these words to Cornelius in Acts 28. You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. In other words, Peter was saying, I accept you. Because God has accepted you.
Yes.
There is a story about a man who visited a church. Now, the church was fairly full, so he walked right up the aisle to the front of the church and plopped down on the floor. He had long, scraggly hair, and his clothes were far cry from the Sunday best that most of the people were wearing. The place grew quiet as people just stared at this intruder. Who does he think he is coming in here like this? Doesn't he know this is the house of God? Listen to me. I'm here to tell you that an elderly gentleman, hallelujah for the elders with good sense, with white hair,
thank you,
slowly got up from his seat, and he began shuffling his way down the aisle. Some of the people thought, good, oh, Brother Dan will take care of this. But when the old man finally reached the young misfit, he touched his shoulder and said, is this seat taken? The young man said, no. So the elderly man painfully eased himself down on the floor beside the young man so he wouldn't be alone throughout the service.
Glory.
All people hung their heads in shame as they realized how unloving and unaccepting they had been in their hearts toward this young stranger. But through the unconditional love and acceptance of a white-haired old man, somebody's life was changed that day. You see, in that moment, Brother Dan became a living telegram of God's love and acceptance. Ah, what if we were the only means God had to let people know that he loves them and accepts them? Now let me rephrase that. We are the means God has chosen to let people know that he loves and accepts them. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are Christ's representatives, our ambassadors. And God is using us to speak to you. We urge you as though Christ himself were pleading with you. Please be reconciled to God. Folks, it's time to put that all of that pride and that sense of superiority aside and realize that we are no better than the worst sinner who might wander into our path.
Yes.
We are only better off because of God's grace. We are only better off because of God's love. But in and of ourselves, we are no better. The ground at the foot of the cross is level, people. We cannot judge someone else to be impure or unclean based on things like race, background, or appearances. Obviously, many people are impure, but it is because they have been a path of disobedience to God and his ways. But can they become pure and clean? Oh, yes, they can. They trust Jesus to forgive them and to lead their lives. They can and will become clean. However, they will have no desire to do so unless we show them how awesome and how accepting the love of God is. The Holy Spirit wants to use us. But if we do not have love, as 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, that gifts and powers will not help any of us, and it sure won't help anybody else. What does this kind of love look like? Well, 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 tells us love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record when it has been wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. This is the way the Lord wants us to love each other and those who do not know him yet. Finally, even though we are to love and accept others regardless of their response to the gospel, there is a specific response that is necessary in order for the good news to truly be good news. and that's our obedience. Obedience is the only appropriate response to the good news. From those who share it, even though Peter initially resisted God's voice to eat something unclean, he was quite willing to obey God when God told him to go to Cornelius' house. In verse 29, Peter tells Cornelius, I came without raising any objection.
Yeah.
Now, what if Peter would have refused to go? Well, maybe God would have sent someone else. Maybe Philip or Barnabas or Paul could have eventually ministered to him. Maybe Peter's relationship with the Lord would have suffered until he repented of disobedience. He knew he had heard from the Lord, and so the appropriate response predates whatever the Nike Corporation came up with. He just did it, okay?
Amen.
When God speaks to us about going to see someone and sharing his love and acceptance with them, we need to purpose ahead of time that we will just do it. Excuse me. Now, everything may not come out perfect, but if God is in it, things will work out. Now, from those who receive it, what if Cornelius had not obeyed the angel and sent for Peter? What if he had not responded with faith to the message about Jesus being the Messiah? What if he had decided he was doing good enough already and said, I'll just do the best I can and hope for the best? I'm a good person. A loving God wouldn't send me to hell. Think of all the poor people I've helped. I don't need to be baptized in the name of someone who died just a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Cornelius did not say or think any of this. In fact, as we will see perhaps next, you know, the next time I preach, Peter did not even get to finish his sermons before the Holy Spirit found hearts and were open and willing to embrace Jesus as their forgiver, as their leader, and as their Messiah. Willing obedience is the proper response to a holy God who loves us in such a way that he gave his one and only son to die in our place. What does this loving God ask us to do when we come to him? He tells us to repent of our sin, confess Jesus as the leader of our lives, and believe that his death and resurrection took care of all our sin problems. If we will obey those words, the Bible says we will become a new person. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation.
Yeah.
He's a new creature.
Yeah.
So how about you? Have you obeyed God's command to repent of the bad things you've said or done over the course of your life? Are you really trusting Jesus for your forgiveness and allowing him to be the head and leader of your life? If you are, hallelujah, that's wonderful. Keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on obeying the Lord and sharing his love with others. Keep on being a living telegram of his acceptance and his grace and mercy. If you have not made that crucial decision to commit your life to Christ, I'm praying that you will do it today, because tomorrow isn't promised. But I'm here to tell you that God is here to speak to you today.
Yeah.
So what am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to come to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm asking you to lay your sin down. I'm asking you to fall in love with Jesus, because I am here to tell you it will truly be the best thing that you have ever done. And I came to tell you that when you come to Jesus and when you fall in love with Jesus, you will never be alone. Hallelujah. Because we understand that we need one another. We understand that, God, you have been accepted by God and you have been accepted by us. We are going to rally around you. We're going to help you learn the word of God. We're going to live that word of God before you. We're going to share the gospel by praying with you. We're going to pray over you. We're going to teach you how to pray. We're going to help you to walk it out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory.
Glory to God. God. Yes.
That's what we're going to do, because you have been accepted in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And I want somebody to sense and know and understand just how much God loves you today. And if you don't understand God's great love for you, I invite you to tune in tomorrow night to the Spirit Alive Network at 6 p.m., 8 p.m., and 9 p.m. to hear Pastor Vanessa Carver and Bishop Lester Carver teach you about God's great love for us.
Yeah.
Because he loves us so. As I said, he died. He sent his son to die so that we might have life. We were accepted in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that we are accepted in you. And as long as we press toward the mark in you, we will never be rejected. We will never be discouraged to the point that we will give up and give in and give out. Because we serve a God that can do all things but fail. We serve a God that will strengthen us. If we would only lay down our pride, if we would only get over ourselves and just realize none of us are perfect. All of us are trying to walk out this race. And we, instead of looking at each other, judging each other, comparing ourselves to one another, gossiping about one another, we need to be walking with one another, helping each other to move on up a little higher.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's what we need to be doing. Thank you, Jesus. We need to understand. And see, let me tell you something. I got something to tell everybody. Hear my little thing for today. If the Lord should just happen to put you in the path of an unbeliever, stand by him. If you should just so happen to be given an opportunity to bless a young person. Hallelujah. Just don't throw a word at them and keep it moving. Stand by them.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I praise God for this word, and I pray that it blessed somebody. I pray that you heard something that encouraged your heart, because you need to really know and understand that you are accepted in Christ. When we, you know, and we need to know and understand that God makes all things beautiful in his time.
Yeah.
So just because you're not seeing miracles, signs, and wonders every second of every day, that doesn't mean God doesn't love you. That means that he is doing things in his timing, because he knows us best. He created us.
Yeah.
So right now, I'm going to ask that our Bishop Lester Carver, come on in the room, and I'm going to ask him to pray. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Bishop Carver.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We praise you. We magnify you. We lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent to pay for all of our sin and to pay for our physical wholeness so that we could be whole and so that we could present ourselves before you as living sacrifices, living for you, living your word out as living epistles, so that people can see the freedom and liberty that is available through your son, Jesus Christ, God.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Him as our master and Lord, God. Father, I thank you for you allowing your son to lead us through the help of the Holy Spirit that you place within us as a result of your son's obedience to you at the cross by dying for us, so that you could raise him from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the tomb, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us a heart to submit to you by submitting to your son, Jesus Christ, and humbling ourselves and making him Lord in our life, making him master. Father, I thank you for you allowing us to come boldly before your throne so that we can pray knowing that you hear our words, knowing that you receive as being worthy and acceptable in your sight. Father, I thank you for you giving us the knowledge and understanding that we only need to be accepted by you, because you and you alone are the one who empowers us to be successful in all that we do. Your presence is more than enough than all other men, women, and organizations that could possibly align us for success, God. Your presence alone is more than enough.
Yes, it is.
Your power within us, God. Father, I thank you for those that you're taking out of darkness, those that you're taking out of bondage, those that you're taking out of sin, taking out of sickness, those that you're taking out of disease.
Hallelujah.
Father, I thank you for of freedom and liberty and independence and prosperity and abundance and purpose and power, God. Father, I
Come
thank
on,
you for
Bishop.
All of the darkness that have clouded the minds of those who have received something less than your best and your understanding.
Pray, Bishop.
God, Father, allow your word to have its stronghold on our minds so that we can be restored, so that we can
see the opposite of
what looks godly without your power, God. Allow
Come
your power to be what not godliness in the earth, God. Father, allow your people to rise up right now and show forth the one body of Christ as the one body, allowing your son Jesus Christ to be the only head of that body, God. Father, I thank you right now for all the souls that you've called before the foundations of the world to be your children, right? To be your children. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I felt that one. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody just decided they're ready to give their life to Christ, and I'm ready to help you to make sure that you're doing that. If you are in our studio right now, our sanctuary right now, and you have a prayer request or you want to give your life to Christ, you can press your 1 on your phone keypad, and that way I will know that you would like to be a part of this morning's service. But if you do not know Christ in the pardon of your sin, this is the good news. You have already been accepted if you would just only give your, if you would only accept your acceptance. And it is as simple as going to Jesus, asking him to become your Lord, your Savior, your leader, your Redeemer, your reconciler, hallelujah, because you believe that he is the Son of the living God. And you just want him to forgive you of all your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness so that you may be used for his will and his purpose in his timing. And if you do, and I don't care how you get it out up there, you don't have to try to sound like the people you hear praying on TV. You don't have to try to pray like us. You just go to the Lord with a humble heart, a sincere heart.
Yeah.
And anyway, you got to get that up there to him. You get that up there to him. And once you get it up there to him, all you have to do is put this stamp on it. You say, in your holy and righteous name, Jesus, I pray all things. Amen.
Yeah.
And hallelujah. It's like this. You don't have to do no more to be accepted into the family of God than be born again. And when you said that sinner's prayer, you, hallelujah, happy birthday, were just born again. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So welcome to the family of God, little ones. And just know that we love you. You are loved by God. You are loved by us. You are accepted into the family of God with all rights, privileges, and benefits that God gives. Hallelujah. Yeah. See, ain't it wonderful that we serve a God where we don't have to earn grace and mercy, where we don't have to earn his unconditional love? Isn't it fantastic that we serve a God, hallelujah, that we don't have to earn peace and joy?
Yes.
Our wisdom.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We don't have to earn the right to pray. All we need to do is belong to him. And we know we can go to him and ask him anything. So I praise God for each and every person that was here today. Hallelujah. There are still a few moments. If anybody that's sitting in the sanctuary would like to have a word or ask for prayer, you have just a few moments. So, but if there be nothing else, I'm going to ask Mother Mitchell to come and read us our benediction, and I will dismiss us. Amen.
Amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Let the church of God say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have been listening to
glory
the Spirit Alive Spirit. You have been listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. I am Bishop Shalene Cook, and of course this morning I was joined by Minister Gladys McGee, Mother Shirley Steiner Mitchell, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, and Apostle Zeta Flowers. And on behalf of all of us, we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. Also, I'd like to personally invite you to listen to our Bishop, Bishop Lester Carver, because this week he is doing a doubleheader at the top of the week. On tomorrow, you can hear him teach, him and Pastor Vanessa teach God's great love for us. And then on Tuesday night, he comes and brings us a Tuesday teaching. For more information about our programs and the times, just follow us on Facebook. So on behalf of myself and all of our family, it is our fervent prayer that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. God bless you. You are dismissed. Go in peace. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Have a beautiful day from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Amen.
Wonderful, my family. You did a phenomenal job. We love you, old 656. Glad you was here. Love you.
Beautiful. Bye-bye. Beautiful.